I move people from feeling that the problem is not solvable to the problem solvable. And all we've done is changed mindset. There's something inside where we've just shifted from, I'm stuck, don't know what to do, there are no options, to, oh, there are options. And that's right. Such a relief to people.
Welcome back to another episode of Success in Mind. Today, I'm joined by Allison Smith, a seasoned speaker, coach, and author who brings a whole lot of fun, laughter, and joy into every conversation. With over 20 years of experience, she has mastered the art of using nature as a metaphor for our lives, offering a unique and quirky perspective that gets results. Whether you're struggling to see the wood for the trees or navigating your inner landscapes, Allison's unconventional approach to coaching and problem solving might just be the answer you've been looking for. Dive into her book, Can't See the Wood for the Trees, or tune into her podcast, Landscaping Your Life, to discover how she can help you reshape your life one metaphor at a time. You're listening to Success in Mind, the show for high-performing leaders, changemakers, and entrepreneurs ready to take your life and business to the next level. If you're ready for whole life success, keep listening. Are you ready to unlock your team's full potential? I specialize in igniting passion, boosting morale, and driving results. Whether it's a corporate event, team building workshop, or a keynote address, I'll leave your audience energized and empowered to achieve their goals. You can expect engaging storytelling, actionable strategies, and an unforgettable experience that will propel your team toward success. Book me for your next event today and witness the transformation firsthand. Go to terryholland.ca/speaking. The link is in the show notes. Back to our show. Hi, Allison. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me.
So why don't we start with a little bit about what you do? And I'm always interested in how people got into doing what they're doing. So what led you to this career?
Well, I would say that up until my husband left my marriage, I wasn't into any of this. And so that was quite a few years ago now. And I sort of dived into neuro-linguistic programming, finding out about how my brain worked, realizing there was more to it than I thought.
That's a good thing.
Absolutely. Yes. I always say I was asleep and then I woke up and realized there was more to the world. And, a bit of a surprise. And what then happened was because I was learning all these new skills, the boss was letting me use them at work. And we were merging between two teams. And so he was going, oh, yeah, great. Use all of what, you're learning. So I sort of became the official or unofficial team coach. I did all the communication, did a lot of the training. And it was during one of those training sessions when we were trying to convince managers within the business to listen to us. And they were yawning. And it's like, supplier management, yawn. We know how to look after our suppliers, go away. And I started using metaphor and said, well, hang on a minute. How many of you have got a garden? And they all put their hands up because here in the UK, most people have got a garden or at least have been around. We've got lots of National Trust gardens for people to walk around. So everybody was familiar with gardening. And as soon as I started saying, well, do we mow gardens to look after them? And weed them and feed them and prune, and plants need time in the greenhouse. So why do suppliers not need any of that? And there was this silence in the room as they went, oh my God, yes. And then they were coming out with, yes, I've got a supplier that's like that tree in the corner that's the roots are undermining everything. We've got lots of weedy-like suppliers. We've got lots of suppliers that were not thriving, but then they suddenly realised weren't thriving because we'd plonked them in the wrong place. So what I realised was the power of metaphor to take something that people don't know anything about or are not interested in and apply it to something they do know something about, and suddenly you've got a shift in mindset. So I think then what I then realised was I can be awkward too. So, it's really hard to get me to change my mind. If you're giving me advice, I'll run, you know, my logical brain will think, well, will defend its right to believe what it started out believing. And, but that's not great. But I realised was actually I can bypass my logical's resistance by using metaphor. Because if you send problem on a holiday, so send it on a coffee break, and you just look the patterns of the situation, then I can look at those patterns all, you know, all the time. And so I then went from gardening as a metaphor for supplier management to landscapes more generally to as metaphors for life more generally. And then, and that was 24 years ago now. And so what I've then done is, I suppose, really gone to town on using nature's metaphors as metaphors for our lives in lots of different ways.
Excellent. And how are you using metaphors now in your coaching practice when you're working with clients?
I would say exclusively in terms of if somebody comes to me expecting a normal coaching session, that's unlikely. So we're much more likely to go out for a walk, even if I'm, so, you know, I had somebody the other week where they were in Los Angeles or in the mountains outside of Los Angeles or hills. And then they'll be walking around the landscape and I'll be asking them questions about the landscape and they'll be using the patterns and what they can see in the landscape as a metaphor. Done it in the past with teams where it might be a vision setting day where I send them out to come back with insight from nature's landscapes. But more predominantly, it's either in social media, sharing, so like the podcast, for instance, Landscaping Your Life, is me going out into nature and embodying a saying, such as, can't see the wood for the trees, stuck between a rock and a hard place. And what I do is say, if you feel like you're stuck between a rock and a hard place, if life feels like an uphill struggle, what has the landscape got to share with you? So let's not worry about, because if you were to tell me a situation that you felt was an uphill struggle, or any of the listeners, then the chances are we'd get lost in the content. We'd get lost and dragged down in all the reasons why we're currently stuck and why it currently feels like an uphill struggle. If we go to a hill that might be a struggle to climb up and start climbing it, we do things like when I did it for the podcast, I noticed some steps that would make it so much easier. You know what I mean? And I also noticed that it was a struggle. Oh, how do I describe it? It's as if it was only in that last 5% of the climb that it felt like a struggle. So it felt like we're starting to describe it as an uphill struggle. And it's as if that struggle will lead us to go, I need to give up. And yet, we're so close to the end. It didn't feel like an uphill struggle when I started it. And it didn't really in the middle, but it did towards the end. It's, oh, hang on a minute. I'm only, you know, five steps away from the top.
Amazing. So when your clients come to you and they're stuck or they're describing their experience in a metaphor like that, how do you then get them to see it differently and to shift through that?
The interesting thing is they do it for themselves as long as we're out in the out in nature. So what my job is to notice the saying. Mm-hmm. Because some people will have different things. So somebody the other week said, oh, I was at a crossroads. So because we were in a botanical gardens and we were both there, then because I noticed that, then it's okay. So let's go and explore crossroads. Let's see what happens. Let's get to a crossroad, make a decision. Just notice the decision-making process you go through just to make a decision in nature. Because you will bring your behavior in life with you. So if it's, I don't want to go up there because it's difficult. I want to go this easy path. Then all it enables us to do is to then have a conversation about, well, I've noticed that which is what I did with this person the other week, where literally every crossroads we got to, he went down the route that didn't, I don't know how we managed it, but we found crossroads that did not have a signpost. So one route did not have a signpost and all the others did. So he'd get there and he'd go, oh, I want to go this way. And then the next one, oh, I'll go this way. And I said, well, that's interesting because every time you've chosen the path that where we don't know where we're going. And it just hit him like a, you know, like a brick wall, really, that, oh, that's what I'm getting wrong. I keep asking people at work for jobs where people have already gone before. And yet what that person was exceptionally good at was going in an innovative idea, you know, going with new ideas, taking the business in new directions.
Interesting.
And what they'd been asking for was a job that wasn't that. And this observation of how they were in on the paths enabled them to go, oh, yeah, that's what I'm like. So I think the questioning, so you can do it on your own, but I know I'm good at noticing the patterns and going, okay, so how is that pattern stopping you in life? So, for instance, now, here in the UK, we say can't see the wood for the trees. In right. other parts of the world, it might be can't see the forest for the trees, can't see the woods for the trees. And so I was at, you know, I have, what I have noticed is I would say 75% of people that I see who resonate with not being able to see the wood, forest, woods, the trees, when I say to them, where do you want to get to? They go, oh, the other side of the woods. It's never about the woods. Never. It's right. Like, well, sorry, 25% of the time it is. But 75% of the time, people are telling me, oh, I want to be there. I want to be there. Wherever it is, but it's not in the woods. So then I ask them, so why are you getting distracted by the woods? And, you know, one person 2 years after one of these walks with me sent me a recommendation saying, I have timed my turnover by 5 because I realized in that session that I was getting distracted. Because what was happening was they absolutely knew where they wanted to take the business. They knew what they wanted to do with the business. But what was happening was that it was as if they were in a wood, new paths were turning up and they're going, oh, perhaps that path's the one I want to go down. Well, what about that? Oh, I had one director literally going, I want to go in this direction, walking 10 paces and then looking around and going, but am I doing the right thing? That bridge in the opposite direction, that bridge down there looks exciting. Perhaps I should go. And I go, where do you want to go? Oh, that way. So they're wanting to go in the, it's as if they know where they want to go, but there's a distraction going on, which this particular person that times their turnover by 5 just really could see the pattern and just went one step at a time, focused on the outcome. I am not going to allow myself to get distracted. So I think, what do I do? I don't do anything to get people specifically to think differently. I just put a mirror up to the patterns that then enable people to go, okay, that's the pattern I'm doing. You know, that's the resistance I'm putting up. That's the, they're the beliefs that I've got running, or that's the pattern that I'm running, that we can then, is that a helpful pattern or not?
Fantastic. That sounds amazing. So it sounds like you're using all metaphors from nature. Is there a reason why you're drawn to nature metaphors?
I think because they're there 24/7. They're, mm-hmm. you know, any day of the week, we can go out and explore them. Most of us understand them. So if somebody was coming to me with a football metaphor or a sporting metaphor, mm-hmm. I'd get stuck in knowing what questions to ask. Yeah. So I wouldn't, whereas I understand nature, I understand, and so do most people. So, and, you know, nature's metaphors are very good at changing. So if somebody says to me, so if they were using a, I don't know, ice hockey metaphor, it's the game starts and finishes. So, and how do you put yourself in that scenario? in order to be able to get the benefit from it. Whereas for me, if somebody says to me they want to turn a corner, then so anybody listening, if you want to turn a corner in your life, go and find a corner. You know, because there's a corner out there that you can turn. And I can't tell you. I mean, I've done this for 24 years. Every time somebody says they want to turn a corner and we go towards this corner, I am there thinking, is this time this isn't going to work? Every time, because I'm thinking, one of these days it's bound to not work. And yet we turn the corner and something happens.
Amazing.
Because we suddenly see something new, or it's a strange... I mean, the last time I did it, it would be really windy road, windy paths up to this corner. And I don't know how we did it, but we turned and it was just a straight path to the exit of the garden we were in. And so to them, it was just plain sailing. I just got to turn the corner, turn me back on everything. So I think we just get so... I think because we can step into nature and we can be part of nature, and nature changes. It's like I went, we're down south and we were near some cliffs, but there was also like an estuary. So we walked along the estuary. And when we started the talk, the sea was out. And so the estuary looked like it got a little stream down. It was just all mud and just very little water because the sea was out. So we went walking, we did some, you know, discussions on the top of a cliff, expansive looking. So we changed the mindset about the situation. And we came back and the sea was in. So suddenly this, what had been mud and horrible, was suddenly an expanse of water. So it's nature's ability to just reflect back to us our learning and insight in the moment, because our brain will notice what it wants to notice. So I just have to hold my nerve when I'm thinking, how is that going to work? Because people always see different things, and I always, it's not my brain that's noticing the pattern, it's theirs. So although I can ask questions of it, sometimes I just have to hold my nerve and know that they will get where they want to go, even if I don't absolutely understand how we're going to get there.
Great. What do you see, or what do you think it is that gets people stuck in these patterns?
Great question. Why do people get stuck?
Yeah.
Because I suppose fear more than anything. Mm-hmm. Because invariably, the underlying presupposition of my work is that people do know what to do. They're just not doing it. Autopilot. So we're not conscious. We're unconscious. Yeah. We're running autopilot. So once when I did the episode for stepping over the line, so it was step over the line and we're not coming back there again. When I did that on a beach, I got a real sense as soon as I stepped over the line that I needed to run, and I also could not look back. And the insight I got from the not looking back was, as if I'd looked back, that familiar, that, oh, this is what I do now. And I'd have been drawn back into that familiarity piece. So I think sometimes it's the unconscious nature of a lot of what we do. And it's about, so I suppose the patterns are just bringing it into conscious awareness in order for us to see the pattern and go, oh, that's the pattern. I'm distracting myself. I'm not sure which direction I want to go, or whatever the pattern is. Once it's in conscious awareness, it's much easier for us to go, oh, okay, just need to do X.
And then it seems so simple, right?
At that point,
it seems simple.
Yeah, and it's taken me ages to realize that that's the point at which I go, yeah. Because I kept thinking that what I do is help people get unstuck, and I do. But that's not why I do it. I do it for the, oh, that feels better. Because I move people from feeling that the problem is not solvable to the problem solvable. And all we've done is changed mindset. There's something inside where we've just shifted from, I'm stuck, don't know what to do, there are no options, to, oh, there are options. And that's right. Such a relief to people.
Yeah.
And I realise that's what I'm going for. As soon as I've got that, it's like, yeah, great. You've got what you need, you know, because I don't have to help you know what you're going to do next, like that person who sent me the recommendation. Mm-hmm. I didn't have to come up with the business plan. He just had to recognize the pattern of using other things to distract him. Because the other beauty about metaphor is that people don't have to share with me what's going on. It's me.
Yeah.
A story is of no relevance to me. And if we speak too much about it, we will get ourselves stuck.
Yeah, so we're just lost stuck in that story.
Sticking with the metaphor, using the metaphor, enabling us to consciously be aware of the pattern. Oh, I'm giving up a minute before the top of the hill.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Or, oh, yeah, I've committed to doing something, but I keep looking back and then I get drawn back into the familiarity of what I was doing before.
I think that's a big one. I see that a lot with my clients. Yeah.
It was a huge one for me when I did it I was there on the sand, I'd drawn a line, mm-hmm. The line had to be a big line because otherwise, you know, we say, I'm going to step over the line and never come back. But if we don't draw a long enough line, then, you know, we're not even committing to it. Yeah.
I haven't even thought of that. Of course.
Well, I hadn't until I did. I mean, that's the, if any of you listen to my podcast episode, you will hear me getting excited because I go, oh, I hadn't have thought of that.
Yeah.
It's mean. It's like new to me. I did do one series of the podcast in the house, sharing insights. And it's just, I'm just regurgitating what happened 6 months ago, 3 years ago. Whereas actually, if I go out, then the tide does something different, or there's something in this tide, or something happens, and I just get very excited about, I've never thought about it.
Cool. I'm going to have to listen to that, because that sounds really fascinating.
Yes. Yeah. I get very excitable. Let's put that way.
That's awesome. And so, in speaking of your podcast, can you tell us a little bit more about the podcast and what they'll get from it?
There's three series, and up till now, the fourth series is going to be slightly differently. Up till now, I've said, if you're stuck, you don't know what to do, or you'd like different perspective on a problem that you're struggling with, then go along to the podcast and pick an episode that resonates with how you're feeling. Because every episode is going round in circles, stuck in a rut, and so, talking to a brick wall. So there's lots of different sayings or idioms that we use when we're stuck. There for you to choose, and then just listen to me rabbiting on while I'm in that environment, sharing insight. I also encourage people to do it themselves. So if you uphill struggle, do it with me, go and find a hill, do it up. What I'm doing, I think, for series four is shifting it a bit and making it more applicable so that anybody can listen to any episode. And so this one, I'm going to, somebody rang me up and said, I'll be on your podcast if I can be on yours. And I said, well, I don't have, guests. Well, nature could be my guest. And then I went,
right.
Oh, that's what I'm going to do. So, series four, I'm going to go, the C here is today's guest. This stream is today's guest. This path is today's guest. And to just see what that particular path, that particular stream has got to say on that day, which I believe will be more than applicable to anybody that's stuck, because then I'll just be noticing patterns in the way we would on a coaching session, really.
Great. What would you say is the biggest lesson that you've learned in your business so far?
Follow your joy.
Mm.
I always get stuck when I start doing things people keep telling me I should do.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the whole, well, you should be doing this, you should be doing that. But I also think sometimes, like somebody the other week said something really quite insightful, because some of my turnover over the 18 years I've been working for myself has come from, you know, my profession, procurement. And I could get really annoyed with that. And yet, you know what? It's allowed me to do a podcast. It's allowed me to write a book. It's allowed me to do, you know, so actually, why should I get annoyed about where the money comes from?
Yeah.
You see what I mean? Because actually, I do enjoy procurement. It's just that in my head, I sometimes think I should be getting, you know, 100% of my turnover should be coming from this. Really, perhaps it's easy just being able to get the money from organisations doing what I do there. I'm doing soft skills training at the moment in one organisation. So it's not as if it's unaligned. And I do get to share landscaping your life in it, but just a little bit of it sometimes. So, yeah. So I think it's, yeah, don't get caught up in the shoulds. And if there's something that you enjoy doing that's bringing in the money, allowing you to do these other things that you'll enjoy doing, that's okay too.
Absolutely. I always tell my clients, not everything needs to be monetized, right?
Like, yeah.
Some things that we do in life that bring us joy are just meant for that.
Yeah.
And that's okay. That's great.
Cool. I agree.
Yeah. Yeah. Have you ever dreamed about launching your own podcast, but you just don't know where to start? I have you covered. Grab my podcast launch strategy checklist. It's free in the show notes, and it will guide you through everything that you need to do from concept to launch and give you a comprehensive list of everything that needs to get done. So if you're wanting to start your own podcast, this is a great place to start. It's in the show notes. Grab it there. Now I have some rapid fire questions I'm going to throw at you. What's your favorite book?
Favorite book? Oh, that's hilarious. Starbrow and Star Warrior. And it's like you can't, you can only get it in secondhand shops. It's, you know, about the end of the world, but, you know, the good guy is winning in the end because it's good versus evil. But it's all of the, you know, like ley lines. So he's sort of bringing everything I enjoy, good and evil, humanity winning the day. But yeah, and it is a book I go back to, or two books that I go back to, but I can't tell you who it's by.
That's okay.
But it is one I go back to, fairly regularly. In fact, I saw a secondhand copy of one of them the other week and bought it because my version's falling to bits. So, because you can't get it on Kindle, you know, it's a real, you know, you have to turn the page. I wasn't expecting to say that, but that's what came in. So there you go.
Perfect. That's great. Yeah. What's your favorite food?
Food? Oh, my friend would say I like bland food. I do like cheese, but unfortunately, cheese doesn't like me. So about 2 years ago, I gave up dairy, which is a real struggle. So, and then potatoes for my knees, I try not to. So I could give you a whole list of things that are bad for me that I like. But can I do hot chocolate with coconut?
Of course, yeah.
Hot chocolate with coconut milk is something that doesn't disagree with me. And I've recently found it as the only hot drink I enjoy. So that's been quite a delight in the last year to find hot chocolate made from coconut milk.
Perfect. What's your biggest pet peeve? Pet peeve.
Pet peeve?
Yeah. Maybe that's a North American thing.
The thing that gets me annoyed?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, well, okay. You know, I've got that. Yeah, somebody the other week, because of how I'd done some training, said, it feels like you're asking me to take my humanity out, leave it at the door. And I could have cried because, and anybody that knows me, I said, I can cry. I do not understand how, but I obviously have somehow expressed using these models to be the opposite to what I think it is. Okay, so for me, my pet peeve is people going, but that's how it is in business. You know, somebody turned up once and said, I'd got some cards and they pulled the kindness cards. And they said, well, I can't use this at work.
They can't use kindness at work.
That's my peeve. So my peeve is thinking that we can't bring our humanity into work with us.
Yeah, great one. Great one. Who inspires you?
Who?
Yeah.
Michael Neal, Caroline Mace, Wayne Dyer back in the day. Yeah. Straight talkers, all of them.
Yeah.
And talking sense and humanity in a way that you can hear, I think.
Yeah, I love Wayne Dyer. I got to see him speak about 6 months before he passed.
Oh.
And yeah, incredible experience. It was amazing.
I can imagine.
Yeah. Three things you take with you to a deserted island.
Oh my golly. Pen and paper.
Mm-hmm.
To write poetry or write anything or draw or whatever. So yeah, pen and paper. So is that two or is that one?
We'll count it as one.
All right, pen and paper. Yeah. A pillow.
A pillow, smart.
Yeah. I think a pillow because I don't do discomfort very well. So the thought
I don't blame you.
I'm more than likely could sleep anywhere, but the pillow would help. So
yes.
A pillow. And, okay. And the other's a bit practical, so I don't know if that even helps. I'd go for a walking stick because I've got one new knee. Well, one knee that's a lot younger than, you know, me. It's not as old as me. And one knee that is not so good. So a stick would give me the confidence to climb up to that hill to look at where I am on the desert island. And, but
nice.
To be fair, I could get a stick for that, couldn't I?
Yeah, you could. Yeah.
Yeah. Perhaps I'd just use my third one on something I could get from the island anyway.
True. That's true. Yeah. Who's a celebrity that you would like to have dinner with?
Oh, well, they're with Dame Wayne Dyer then.
Nice.
Yeah. Or the Dalai Lama.
Oh, yeah.
I saw him, and I did see him speak in Australia.
Amazing.
I went on a holiday to Australia and timed it at the same time as a happiness conference that he was talking at.
Oh, great.
And,
that would have been amazing.
Yeah, no. Yes, Dalai Lama, because he walks in the room and you get his, you feel his energy, which sounds like you might have got that with Wayne. But it's that. Yeah, you don't have to hear the words. You just get the presence.
Absolutely. And your go-to karaoke song?
Oh, no. I don't have one. What would it be?
Yeah, you can sing anything.
When going gets tough. The one that if it's on the radio, I'll start dancing to is when the going gets tough, the tough get going, because you can really throw your body about.
Yeah.
So I think that would have to be that, or I Will Survive. But I think that's just going back to when I was a kid, you know.
Also a great
there.
Song. Yeah, both great. Both are great choices. Fantastic. Do you have any final thoughts or words of wisdom you'd like to share before we finish up?
The words of wisdom are about noticing your language so that when you're stuck, if you come out with an idiom, then just do something, you know, just notice what that is and do something with the metaphor.
Yeah.
But the other thing would be is if you feel like you're going around in circles, then draw the circling because it's so quick means of getting out of the circling. I mean, literally draw the circling, you know, how big is it? How quick is it? Which direction are you going in? And then just make changes and just keep making changes to the drawing until you've got that, that feels better. And it normally will take within 5 minutes. Any situation you're feeling you're like you're going in circles about, drawing the circling will get you out of that circling quite quickly.
Oh, that's such a great suggestion. I love that. And where should people go to find you? What's the best place to connect with you?
Smith.co, nothing after the .co, but to be fair, there's lots of Alison Smith, so people may go in various different directions. So Landscaping Your Life will find me everywhere. So Landscaping Your Life is the podcast. Landscaping Your Life is the tagline of the book, which is Can't See the Wood for the Trees, but you'd find it on Amazon with Landscaping Your Life. And Landscaping Your Life will find me on LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok. So Landscaping Your Life would be the better one because, A, nobody else is using it.
Yeah.
And there's lots of Alison Smiths about.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much for joining me today. I really appreciate this.
Well, thank you for having me.
I have to say that after this conversation with Alison, I started to pay a lot more attention to the metaphors I was using in my life. And it's interesting, you know, because I'm an NLP trainer and a hypnosis trainer. I work a lot with metaphors with my clients, but not in the way that Allison has applied them in her coaching practice. So she really got me to think about things a bit differently. What was interesting is at the end there, when she was talking about if you feel like you're going in circles, I had been feeling that for a while in my business. Like I was just going in circles and couldn't find my way out. So after she said this, as soon as we finished the interview, I got out a piece of paper and I started drawing the circles, just like Allison said. And would you know it? Of course it worked. It didn't even take 5 minutes. Within maybe like a couple minutes, I quickly saw that it was no longer a circle. It was a spiral. That what felt like a circle to me was actually a spiral taking me up to a new level. And from that moment, I have not felt like I am spinning in circles anymore. So I really encourage you to look at the metaphors that you're using in your life and then do exactly what Allison says. Move through that metaphor. If you feel like you're talking to a wall, go talk to a wall. Notice what happens. If you feel like you're at a crossroads, go find a crossroads and choose a direction. And of course, listen to Allison's podcast, get her book, and connect with her online to learn more about what she does and maybe even work with her. I hope you enjoyed this episode today. I hope you got a lot of value out of it. And if you did, of course, share it with a friend who you think would benefit. And then leave your 5-star review, because you know I always appreciate them, and I cannot end a show without asking for that 5-star review. Thank you so much for joining us today. I'll be back again on Thursday with another solo episode. And until then, bye for now, friends.